On a beautiful weekend here in the Twin Cities and around CCU land, time once again for our wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Jack Farrell. Good morning, Jack.
Hi there, Denny. What are you going to do this glorious weekend?
Well, I was thinking about making what I call Jack Farrell's ribs tonight, and then finding a bottle of something
Bell
from yes, exactly. That you were right on the money when you made that comment so long ago that it's such a great matchup. But what are you going to be talking about today?
That's exactly what I'm going to be talking about today is Malbec. I remember in the mid 70s, my good friend Glenn Nelson called me up and he said, "Have I ever had any of the black wine of Cahors?" I said, "No, I'd read about it, but I'd never had any." He said, "I'm going to send you a bottle." So he sent me a black wine of Cahors. I said, "No, I'd read about it, but I'd never had any." He said, "I'm going to send you a bottle." So he sent me a bottle of this black wine of Cahors, and it was made by Prince Henrik of Sweden, and he had a property there in Cahors and made this wine, and I thought it was terrific. So I looked into it. What was it made out of? Malbec. Well, I didn't know much about Malbec either, much less the wine of Cahors, but I certainly enjoyed the black wine of Cahors. It was big, inky, and a powerful wine, went great with meat. I tried this research, if you will, on what Malbec was, and I read about it, and it had a great history. It was all over France, and then in the 50s, there was a horrible frost that decimated many, many of the vineyards in France. And because Malbec is a very sensitive grape, it was decimated by that. Its really most principal place isn't Cahors, but was Bordeaux, where it was a blending grape. And it was added to, you know, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, and Auxerre as one of the five official blending grapes of Bordeaux. But never on its own. I mean, it always was just a blending grape. And it was often called other things because it was in so many departments in France. It became sort of confusing. Well, what really happened with Malbec, and the reason we even know about it now, is back in the 1880s, the Minister of Agriculture for Argentina went to France and brought back some Malbec cuttings and had them planted in Mendoza. And Mendoza is a beautiful valley not far from the capital of Argentina, and just a wonderful place to visit if you ever have time to go to South America and you're in Argentina. Don't miss Mendoza. It's a wonderful, wonderful place to visit. And, of course, grows lots and lots of Malbec grapes. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they're over in just Mendoza alone, 70,000 acres of Malbec. And Malbec is a grape type that loves sun and heat. And like I said earlier, it's very sensitive to frost and all those other things. Well, Mendoza is actually a desert. The reason it's so fertile, etc., isn't because of the annual rainfall. It's because of the annual runoff. The water comes down from that's melted from the Andes and is diverted into the vineyards, and it's very clever. They do it even today, much like the ancient Inca Indians did, where they have these little canals or channels where the water runs down, and then they route that to the different grapes, and they do the same thing, incidentally, to the trees inside the town of Mendoza. They're all, you look in, they're all graded, and there's a little hole below them, and that's where the water comes in from the runoff. The runoff is amazing every year from the Andes when all that snow melts, and they have turned it into a fertile valley, even though it is a desert. So because of liking heat so much, the Malbec flourished there and really did well. We planted Malbec in this country and used it as a blending thing in stuff like jug Burgundy or jug Claret, etc. But as those wines went out of favor, so did Malbec in this country. But meanwhile, the Argentinians worked very, very hard on this Malbec. And in the 80s, mid-80s to 90s, all of a sudden people began to taste and try this Malbec, which was an export from Argentina, and found they liked it. And as I said when we started out here, one of the reasons I chose today to talk about Malbec is with this wonderful warm weather we're going to have today and tomorrow, a lot of people undoubtedly will be cooking and cooking barbecue. And believe me, if you had all the money in the world to spend on wine, Malbec is about your best value to have with any kind of barbecue, because it goes so well with that hot, sweet barbecue sauce flavor. And really, of course, the Argentinians are the largest meat consumers in the entire world, even more than the Americans. And there's a good reason they picked that Malbec to go with their meat so well, because it's a marriage made in heaven. One of my favorite wines is one called a Gary Bay. It really is a terrific Malbec. It's owned by the Rothschild family of France. I can't believe it's so modestly expensive. It's only $12.99 a bottle, and it is just sensational. And if you're having barbecue ribs or something, you can't do any better than that at Gary Bay. Oh, I take that back. You could have Las Flechas de Andes, which is a Gary Bay's top-level wine, and that's about $20 a bottle. But either one, the 20 or the 12, yeah, get a marvelous combination of food and wine together, because that Malbec was, just seemed to be bred for barbecue sauce, in my opinion. You know, in Cahors, it's called the black wine of Cahors, and there's a good reason for that. The grapes of Malbec are black, and they're thick-skinned. And like I said, they're very difficult grape to grow, much like Pinot Noir. They're sensitive, etc., and they seem to have found a real home in that Mendoza area. It's, as I said, it's a desert, but it's a well-irrigated desert, so it does very well. And Malbec needs more sun and heat to mature than Cabernet or Merlot does. So it gets plenty of that in Mendoza, that's for sure. And when we want to taste Malbec, I don't like to describe taste, because taste is such a personal thing, in my opinion, that you should, everybody should regard their own taste and their own taste buds as the definitive thing and not pay attention to anybody else. But a good way of describing it is there's berries and cherries in the nose, maybe with little plums. If it has been aged in oak, you'll find a touch of vanilla and chocolate, and that's not uncommon. And the tannic structure depends where it grows. And that's something kind of interesting in Argentina. When I first started to go to Argentina to bring Malbec into Minnesota, it was all Mendoza Valley. A few people had some vineyards up the hill a little bit. Today, they have some Malbecs that are up to $100 a bottle, and they're grown on these small little plateaus, some of them up 5,000 and 6,000 feet above sea level. And they find that the wine does very, very well there. There's a family in Argentina called Catena, C-A-T-E-N-A, and they make a wonderful wine. They think their wines are called Zapata cellars. I remember when they built their cellar. It's a beautiful building. It looks like an Aztec temple. Don't ask me why they have an Aztec temple in an Inca area, but it is a beautiful, beautiful vineyard shaped like a temple, an Aztec temple, and they make remarkable wines, and they have always been in the forefront of experimentation, etc. In fact, in the University of California, Davis, there's a whole school that's been endowed by the Catena family for information and schooling about the Malbec grape. It's really just, they've done a wonderful job and a real good sort of voices crying out in the desert for what it should be and is Malbec. And because Malbec got so popular from Argentina around the world, many other places in the world are producing Malbec. And they, but it, none of them really compare, in my opinion, including our own country, to what you can get from Argentina. And some people would argue that the Argentinian Malbec is slightly generically different than the Malbec that comes from Cahors, where Prince Heinrich had his vineyard. I don't know whether that's true or not. Those people know a lot more about genetics than I do, that's for sure. But I do know one thing, that if you're looking for a wine that you really want to have with a barbecue sauce or something like that, look no further than Malbec. It really is a terrific wine. If you get it from Cahors, you'll see the difference right away. In fact, that would be a good, fun comparison. Compare a black wine of Cahors with an Argentinian Malbec, and you'd see how the different areas and winemaking can affect a varietal. You'd swear the wines weren't even related other than the color. They're both very dark, almost black. But the wines are so different. Often, Malbec has been described as a roughhouse Merlot. I don't think that's too bad a description. It's a little coarser than Merlot, but it lingers in your memory. Once you've had a good glass of Malbec, it'll become one of your staples. You may not drink it all the time, but you'll drink it often. And like I say, you'll certainly drink it if you're going to have barbecue sauce. I don't know how that ever came about, but it is just a marvelous combination of food and wine when you mix that Argentinian Malbec with your favorite ribs that have been doused with some your favorite barbecue sauce, because all barbecue sauces are sweet and generally a little hot. And Malbec is one of the few grape types that can really handle that. Zinfandel can too, but again, that's only a few kinds of Zinfandel. There's so many different kinds. But there is a vague similarity in all the Malbecs, particularly from Mendoza. And as I said, having visited Mendoza and having enjoyed Malbec there, it really is terrific, in my opinion, that all of this has transpired, and it's all fairly recent. You know, we think about the history, yes, the history of wine goes back 6,000-8,000 years, whatever, and this Malbec was only introduced into Argentina in the 1880s. But look what's happened to that. And it's only been introduced really into the United States since maybe the 1990s. And what a great introduction that's been. It took a wine, a grape type, that was really used for producing bulk wines. I mean, it was a flavoring agent, if you will, to other better grape types, and it was considered almost indifferent. And then today, there are people that seek it out, and as I said, you can get a Malbec for up to $100 a bottle. It's just amazing to me that that has developed like that from the time my friend sent me that wonderful bottle of the black wine of Cahors from Prince Heinrich of Sweden. And then I tasted it, and I began my own love affair with Malbec grapes. I think they're just terrific and worth seeking out. And if you're going to have a barbecue this weekend, why not take the time, get a bottle of that at Gary Bay, get even the modest price one at $12 a bottle, and try it with the barbecue. I guarantee it'll be your go-to wine every single time you do barbecue ribs. It's just really a terrific marriage. Maybe not made in heaven, but it's certainly made in an area that I don't understand, where you can get a food and wine thing, that combination that goes so well together.
I happen to have that very thing all set to go for tonight. So, Jack, tell folks that they can get all these questions answered, whatever they may ask, at any Haskell's location.
Right. Haskell's right now, we're celebrating our 90th anniversary. For 90 years, imagine that, nine decades, Haskell's has been pairing food and wine together. And you know what? We've gotten pretty good at it through the years. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars during this wonderful sale on all sorts of wines and beers and spirits from all over the world. And the one stores you can visit on this beautiful Saturday would be Bloomington, Excelsior. There's a Haskell's in Faribault right off of 35. Our Maple Grove Super Cellar is simply not to be missed. 22,000 square feet of wines from all over the world, including Argentina. And downtown Minneapolis, there's free parking on both Saturday and Sunday. And there's a Haskell's in Plymouth, new store, just a beautiful store in Plymouth. Haskell's in St. Paul's Highland Village. There's a Haskell's in Stillwater. There's a Haskell's at White Bear Lake and one in Woodbury, too. And if you come in, can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com. And whatever you do, don't forget, Haskell's does deliver. And we've been delivering for 90 years, too.
That is just amazing. Jack, let's do this again next week.
You know, Denny, I'm going to look forward to that.
That's Jack Farrell from Haskell's. On a beautiful weekend here in the Twin Cities and around CCU land, time once again for our wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Jack Farrell. Good morning, Jack.
Hi there, Denny. What are you going to do this glorious weekend?
Well, I was thinking about making what I call Jack Farrell's ribs tonight and then finding a bottle of something
Bell
from yes, exactly. That you were right on the money when you made that comment so long ago that it's such a great matchup. But what are you going to be talking about today?
That's exactly what I'm going to be talking about today is Malbec. I remember in the mid 70s, my good friend Glenn Nelson called me up and he said, "Have I ever had any of the black wine of Cahors?" I said, "No, I'd read about it, but I'd never had any." He said, "I'm going to send you a bottle." So he sent me a black wine of Cahors. I said, "No, I'd read about it, but I'd never had any." He said, "I'm going to send you a bottle." So he sent me a bottle of this black wine of Cahors, and it was made by Prince Henrik of Sweden, and he had a property there in Cahors and made this wine, and I thought it was terrific. So I looked into it. What was it made out of? Malbec. Well, I didn't know much about Malbec either, much less the wine of Cahors, but I certainly enjoyed the black wine of Cahors. It was big, inky, and a powerful wine, went great with meat. I tried this research, if you will, on what Malbec was, and I read about it, and it had a great history. It was all over France, and then in the 50s, there was a horrible frost that decimated many, many of the vineyards in France. And because Malbec is a very sensitive grape, it was decimated by that. Its really most principal place isn't Cahors, but was Bordeaux, where it was a blending grape. And it was added to, you know, Merlot, Cabernet, Cabernet Franc, and Auxerre is one of the five official blending grapes of Bordeaux. But never on its own. I mean, it always was just a blending grape. And it was often called other things because it was in so many departments in France. It became sort of confusing. Well, what really happened with Malbec, and the reason we even know about it now, is back in the 1880s, the Minister of Agriculture for Argentina went to France and brought back some Malbec cuttings and had them planted in Mendoza. And Mendoza is a beautiful valley not far from the capital of Argentina, and just a wonderful place to visit if you ever have time to go to South America and you're in Argentina. Don't miss Mendoza. It's a wonderful, wonderful place to visit. And, of course, grows lots and lots of Malbec grapes. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they're over in just Mendoza alone, 70,000 acres of Malbec. And Malbec is a grape type that loves sun and heat. And like I said earlier, it's very sensitive to frost and all those other things. Well, Mendoza is actually a desert. The reason it's so fertile, etc., isn't because of the annual rainfall. It's because of the annual runoff. The water comes down from that's melted from the Andes and is diverted into the vineyards, and it's very clever. They do it even today, much like the ancient Inca Indians did, where they have these little canals or channels where the water runs down, and then they route that to the different grapes. And they do the same thing, incidentally, to the trees inside the town of Mendoza. They're all, you look in, they're all graded, and there's a little hole below them, and that's where the water comes in from the runoff. The runoff is amazing every year from the Andes when all that snow melts, and they have turned it into a fertile valley, even though it is a desert. So because of liking heat so much, the Malbec flourished there and really did well. We planted Malbec in this country and used it as a blending thing in stuff like jug Burgundy or jug Claret, etc. But as those wines went out of favor, so did Malbec in this country. But meanwhile, the Argentinians worked very, very hard on this Malbec. And in the 80s, mid-80s to 90s, all of a sudden, people began to taste and try this Malbec, which was an export from Argentina, and found they liked it. And as I said when we started out here, one of the reasons I chose today to talk about Malbec is with this wonderful warm weather we're going to have today and tomorrow, a lot of people undoubtedly will be cooking and cooking barbecue. And believe me, if you had all the money in the world to spend on wine, Malbec is about your best value to have with any kind of barbecue, because it goes so well with that hot, sweet barbecue sauce flavor. And really, of course, the Argentinians are the largest meat consumers in the entire world, even more than the Americans. And there's a good reason they picked that Malbec to go with their meat so well, because it's a marriage made in heaven. One of my favorite wines is one called a Gary Bay. It really is a terrific Malbec. It's owned by the Rothschild family of France. I can't believe it's so modestly expensive. It's only $12.99 a bottle, and it is just sensational. And if you're having barbecue ribs or something, you can't do any better than that at Gary Bay. Oh, I take that back. You could have Las Flechas de Andes, which is a Gary Bay's top-level wine, and that's about $20 a bottle. But either one, the 20 or the 12, you're going to get a marvelous combination of food and wine together, because that Malbec just seemed to be bred for barbecue sauce, in my opinion. You know, in Cahors, it's called the black wine of Cahors, and there's a good reason for that. The grapes of Malbec are black, and they're thick-skinned. And like I said, they're very difficult grape to grow, much like Pinot Noir. They're sensitive, etc., and they seem to have found a real home in that Mendoza area. It's, as I said, it's a desert, but it's a well-irrigated desert, so it does very well. And Malbec needs more sun and heat to mature than Cabernet or Merlot does. So it gets plenty of that in Mendoza, that's for sure. And when we want to taste Malbec, I don't like to describe taste, because taste is such a personal thing, in my opinion, that everybody should regard their own taste and their own taste buds as the definitive thing and not pay attention to anybody else. But a good way of describing it is there's berries and cherries in the nose, maybe with a little plums. If it has been aged in oak, you'll find a touch of vanilla and chocolate, and that's not uncommon. And the tannic structure depends where it grows. And that's something kind of interesting in Argentina. When I first started to go to Argentina to bring Malbec into Minnesota, it was all Mendoza Valley. A few people had some vineyards up the hill a little bit. Today, they have some Malbecs that are up to $100 a bottle, and they're grown on these small little plateaus, some of them up 5,000 and 6,000 feet above sea level. And they find that the wine does very, very well there. There's a family in Argentina called Catena, C-A-T-E-N-A, and they make a wonderful wine. They think their wines are called Zapata cellars. I remember when they built their cellar. It's a beautiful building. It looks like an Aztec temple. Don't ask me why they have an Aztec temple in an Inca area, but it is a beautiful, beautiful vineyard shaped like a temple, an Aztec temple, and they make remarkable wines, and they have always been in the forefront of experimentation, etc. In fact, they're in the University of California, Davis. There's a whole school that's been endowed by the Catena family for information and schooling about the Malbec grape. It's really just, they've done a wonderful job and a real good sort of voices crying out in the desert for what should be and is Malbec. And because Malbec got so popular from Argentina around the world, many other places in the world are producing Malbec, and none of them really compare, in my opinion, including our own country, to what you can get from Argentina. And some people would argue that the Argentinian Malbec is slightly generically different than the Malbec that comes from Cahors, where Prince Heinrich had his vineyard. I don't know whether that's true or not. Those people know a lot more about genetics than I do, that's for sure. But I do know one thing, that if you're looking for a wine that you really want to have with a barbecue sauce or something like that, look no further than Malbec. It really is a terrific wine. If you get it from Cahors, you'll see the difference right away. In fact, that would be a good, fun comparison. Compare a black wine at Cahors with an Argentinian Malbec, and you'd see how the different areas and winemaking can affect a varietal. You'd swear the wines weren't even related other than the color. They're both very dark, almost black. But the wines are so different. Often, Malbec has been described as a roughhouse Merlot. I don't think that's too bad a description. It's a little coarser than Merlot, but it lingers in your memory. Once you've had a good glass of Malbec, it'll become one of your staples. You may not drink it all the time, but you'll drink it often. And like I say, you'll certainly drink it if you're going to have barbecue sauce. I don't know how that ever came about, but it is just a marvelous combination of food and wine when you mix that Argentinian Malbec with your favorite ribs that have been doused with some your favorite barbecue sauce, because all barbecue sauces are sweet and generally a little hot. And Malbec is one of the few grape types that can really handle that. Zinfandel can too, but again, that's only a few kinds of Zinfandel. There's so many different kinds. But there is a vague similarity in all the Malbecs, particularly from Mendoza. And as I said, having visited Mendoza and having enjoyed Malbec there, it really is terrific, in my opinion, that all of this has transpired, and it's all fairly recent. You know, we think about the history. Yes, the history of wine goes back 6,000-8,000 years, whatever, and this Malbec was only introduced into Argentina in the 1880s. But look what's happened to that. And it's only been introduced really into the United States since maybe the 1990s. And what a great introduction that's been. It took a wine, a grape type, that was really used for producing bulk wines. I mean, it was a flavoring agent, if you will, to other better grape types, and it was considered almost indifferent. And then today, there are people that seek it out, and as I said, you can get a Malbec for up to $100 a bottle. It's just amazing to me that that has developed like that from the time my friend sent me that wonderful bottle of the black wine of Cahors from Prince Heinrich of Sweden. And then I tasted it, and I began my own love affair with Malbec grapes. I think they're just terrific and worth seeking out. And if you're going to have a barbecue this weekend, why not take the time, get a bottle of that at Gary Bay, get even the modest price one at $12 a bottle, and try it with the barbecue. I guarantee it'll be your go-to wine every single time you do barbecue ribs. It's just really a terrific marriage. Maybe not made in heaven, but it's certainly made in an area that I don't understand, where you can get a food and wine thing, that combination that goes so well together.
I happen to have that very thing all set to go for tonight. So, Jack, tell folks that they can get all these questions answered, whatever they may ask, at any Haskell's location.
Right. Haskell's right now, we're celebrating our 90th anniversary. For 90 years, imagine that, nine decades, Haskell's has been pairing food and wine together. And you know what? We've gotten pretty good at it through the years. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars during this wonderful sale on all sorts of wines and beers and spirits from all over the world. And the one stores you can visit on this beautiful Saturday would be Bloomington, Excelsior. There's a Haskell's in Faribault right off of 35. Our Maple Grove Super Cellar is simply not to be missed. 22,000 square feet of wines from all over the world, including Argentina. And downtown Minneapolis, there's free parking on both Saturday and Sunday. And there's a Haskell's in Plymouth, new store, just a beautiful store in Plymouth. Haskell's in St. Paul's Highland Village. There's a Haskell's in Stillwater. There's a Haskell's at White Bear Lake and one in Woodbury, too. And if you come in, can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com. And whatever you do, don't forget, Haskell's does deliver. And we've been delivering for 90 years, too.
That is just amazing. Jack, let's do this again next week.
You know, Denny, I'm going to look forward to that.
That's Jack Farrell from Haskell's.